A UW-Madison researcher has received approval to study how depression and anxiety affect the brain, in the hopes of being better able to help people who suffer from these conditions. To do this, he will separate baby monkeys from their mothers, subject them to stressful situations, and then euthanize them after 1 year in order to study their brains. In today's big question, we are going to ask you, do you think this research should be allowed to continue? And why or why not? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 8 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Wednesday, October 1st. Every Wednesday at this time, we find an issue in the news that's facing the state or nation and find someone to discuss it with us. We decided that we would look into this controversy over this experiment on the UW-Madison campus. We're going to talk with a reporter who has been investigating this project and the ethical controversy surrounding it. And again, welcome your questions for him as well. Our guest is Noah Phillips, freelance reporter for the Wisconsin Center for Investigative Journalism, who has been covering this primate research story, and he joins us in the studio. Good morning.
Good morning. Hi.
Hi. Well, this has been going on for some time, at least. Give us the context. What do we know about this research project? Is it underway right now?
We actually can't say for certain whether or not it's underway. I haven't been given any authoritative answer about that, but it was first approved in April of 2012 through a sort of process, which maybe I'll get a chance to talk about later. But yeah, it was then resubmitted in April of this year, 2014. And after receiving approval, protocols can begin, research can begin whenever.
All right. So we don't know for sure if it's underway or not, but there's certainly, we do know for sure there's a lot of controversy over this. What is it that the researchers are hoping to accomplish by this project?
The researchers, and the main researcher's name is Ned Kalin. He's a psychiatrist here at the UW, and they're hoping to basically find alterations in genetic and molecular pathways in the brains of these monkeys who they separate from their mothers at birth.
This is similar to the research that many of us have heard about involving UW researcher Harry Harlow. He made studies famous where he did separate baby monkeys from their mothers to look into the effects of maternal deprivation, apparently. This was some 40 years ago. Are we recreating that specific project?
No, we're not. That's a really, really crucial point. It's not the same as the worst of what Harlow did. Harlow, Harry Harlow, who is a primate researcher here, who is really celebrated. The worst of what he did, arguably, is put newborn monkeys into a sensory deprivation chamber, which is the thing that he called the pit of despair. It's not that, but it is on the spectrum of that. It is taking monkeys away from their mothers at birth, which hasn't been done at least since the 80s. At the UW. It has been ongoing in other places.
It has, okay. Mm-hmm. So why does Ned Kalin believe that this is going to benefit humans?
Well, according to Ned Kalin, and this is sort of the science aspect of it, early adversity is this really interesting place where for humans, children who suffer from neglect or abuse have a much higher chance later on of having anxiety problems and problems with depression. So his hypothesis, according to my understanding, is that he's going to be, by taking monkeys away from their mothers at birth, they will also have early adversity. And so their molecular genetic neurological changes will give him insights into those of humans.
Yeah, and certainly some people might think that's cruel to separate the babies from their mothers. But then the babies are also euthanized at the end of this, so their brains can be studied. Why do they need to be euthanized at the end?
Well, throughout their pretty short lives, they're going to be having brain scans almost continuously, several times every few weeks. Not several times every few weeks, but just every few weeks. But they really want to get and dissect the brain and look at how overdeveloped the amygdala is and other parts of the brain that have to do with anxiety.
And they have to do that actually by looking at the brain.
Yeah, actual chemical analysis.
Yeah. So who said this was okay? I mean, Ned Kaelin can't just decide to do this. Somebody's got to approve it.
That's right. Actually, two committees have said it was okay. This is a really interesting point, so I want to, can I go on about this for a second? So there are institutional animal care and use committees, and there's five of them at the UW, and they have to approve every kind of animal research that happens, with some exceptions. I don't think they have to, they don't have to gain approval for fish and like mice and some other things. So this protocol was submitted 2 years ago to two committees because it's taking place in two buildings. So it's under the Language College of Letters and Science Iacuc Committee and the Grad School Iacuc Committee. So 2 years ago, it was submitted primarily to the LNS Committee, and it was deliberated over for over a year, which is much, much more than most protocols are. The scrutiny was actually, I mean, the ethical discussions was relatively robust compared to most primate research deliberations.
Okay. So so obviously the committee needed some convincing?
At least one individual on the committee did need some convincing, yeah, and that was Robert Streifer, who's the only bioethicist in the whole animal program at the UW.
But this committee eventually did say, okay, this is, and it's looking at, it, will this be ethically done, and is there a worthwhile end result?
Yeah, they basically, Iacucs have a series of more or less boilerplate questions that they have to ask. They have to ask things like, how many monkeys, are we using the minimum amount of animals? Are we doing what we can to minimize their pain? How worthwhile is this research? That kind of thing. So it's a balancing game for the Iacucs.
Yeah. So both committees did give their approval.
Right. So the other committee, the grad school Iacuc, also gave its approval. The LNS committee, so they voted at one meeting. There were two votes against the research from the LNS committee, and it was unanimously approved in the grad school committee. But 2 years later, just this last April, it was resubmitted only primarily to the grad school committee, which then approved it. This is sort of a very contentious point because some people think that there was sort of like shady business here, but it was actually consistent with their policies. The protocol was resubmitted to the grad school, but LNS had a chance to look at it, just like grad school had a chance to look at it 2 years previously. And they, a subset of the LNS committee, the chair, Craig Barrage, and the veterinarian said, we don't really want to look at this again.
Meaning what? That they don't want to reconsider their decision that ultimately approved it? Or that they oppose it?
Meaning that they were relegating responsibility for it back to the grad school.
Okay.
So they were sort of washing their hands of it. I mean, and which you kind of make, so the opposition, Robert Streifer, the bioethicist, wasn't one of the two people on the LNS committee who had a chance to look at it the second time. So he was left out the second time, but that wasn't illegal.
So it remained in the headlines even just recently. We had the University of Wisconsin system president, Ray Cross, was on C-SPAN, and he was asked about it. Is the university reconsidering whether or not this research should proceed?
I would say at the moment, there's no sign that the university is reconsidering anything. The current level of discourse surrounding the research, I think, means that people who are opposed to the research and the researchers themselves are talking past each other more than they're addressing each other's concerns.
Mm-hmm. But Rick Cross said something along the lines of, well, we'll look into that, or we're, you know, but at this point you're saying that there is no higher up looking to overturn this decision.
Yeah, a caller called in while Rick Cross was being interviewed on C-SPAN and sort of asked him to reconcile the UW's progressive image with these studies. And he said, well, we're taking those concerns really seriously. We've heard those concerns. I'm sharing those with the board.
I see.
And that's all he said. I mean, he also then went on to, this is important, emphatically talk about how great he thought the process was and how he thought that UW had it together and we had to trust in the process, he said. Later, when I called his office and went by his office, I didn't meet with him personally, but his, you know, PR person emailed me and said, it's not on any upcoming board agendas. That's it.
There is a petition drive underway to get the UW Board of Regents to do something to overturn this. Hundreds of thousands of people have signed it?
Yeah, I think it's over 300,000 now.
Is this an avenue for opponents to get the UW Board of Regents involved?
Well, you know, it could be, and it has a lot of signatures, and I know that the UW is aware of the petition and has received calls about the petition. Unfortunately, there's some misinformation in the petition. There's some aspects of the petition which aren't quite factually true, or which are, so I think that makes it easy for the UW to dismiss.
Well, you know, maybe we'll talk a little bit about that after we take our break and invite listeners to join in today's big question. If you have any questions about this UW primate research that has been approved but is the source of much, much controversy, 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is our big question. I'm Joy Cardine, talking with Noah Phillips, who is a freelance reporter for the Wisconsin Center for Investigative Journalism, who has been covering some controversial primate research that has been approved on the UW-Madison campus. A UW-Madison researcher wants to study depression and anxiety and how that affects the brain in hopes of being able to better treat people who suffer from these conditions. In order to do this, he plans on separating baby monkeys from their mothers, subject them to stressful situations, and then euthanize them after a year in order to study their brains. And we are talking about this research, the pros and the cons of this research, and wondering if you support or oppose this research. Do you think it should be allowed to continue or not? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. We have full lines, so let's go to our first caller, Murray in Annandale, Virginia. Good morning, Murray.
Good morning, Joy.
Yes, what's your question or statement?
Well, the statement is that, from my understanding, the research is trying to develop, is trying to identify gene sequences in the brains of these monkeys. Dr. Ned Kalin has a private company that has patented these gene sequences. And the attempt is to identify in these monkeys a, quote, anxious temperament, which is then going to be used to develop drugs to be used in children with, quote, anxious temperaments, unquote, to treat them before they ever come down with any sort of illness or disorder, if they ever do. So it sounds like it's primarily a money-making enterprise whereby whereby monkeys are being essentially abused, separated from their mothers, traumatized, killed, dissected. Gene sequences are being identified, patented, and then these patents will go to drug companies who will develop drugs to treat these children on the basis of genotypes alone, not behavior, not disorders, not phenotypes, but genotypes. And I think that that is basically eugenics, which used to be considered a major science. Now it's considered a pseudoscience and immoral science.
All right, Murray, because you gave us a lot to talk about there, is what Murray is saying essentially what's happening on Noah Phillips?
Well, I'm not really in a position to, I don't know much about sort of the money-making enterprise aspect of things. I think it's important to keep in mind the distinction between a genome, which is our sequence of DNA, in every one of our cells, and genetic expressions, which are different. It's really fascinating, actually. I mean, different genes in our bodies and in different parts of our bodies are turned on at different times and by different situations. And so what I imagine Ned Kamlin would say if he were here is that it's not about genomes so much as finding out what early adversity does in terms of genetic expression. So certain genes in the brain being turned on when as an infant, monkeys or humans are exposed, who are monkeys, primates are exposed to stressful situations, and then seeing which genes are turned on, and then when genes are turned on, different proteins develop, and that's basically what we are.
And I'm wondering, though, if through your reporting, it is the goal is to develop some sort of medication, some sort of drug that would indeed prevent anxiety and depression in people.
Yeah, I think it's fair to say that it is. I mean, pills and also therapies and sort of that's what he says. But I think the logical conclusion of this research, and I'm sure it's a very indirect path to get there, is to find some new medication.
Yeah. Murray, thank you very much for the call. When you just mentioned that we're monkeys, we're primates too. Do you think that's why there's such outcry over this particular experiment? And there's certainly a controversy over other forms of animal research, but this one's pretty big. Is it because of the subject?
Yeah, I think it probably is fair to say that it is. I mean, monkeys. Since learning about the study myself and, looking at photographs of infant primates, I walk around Madison where I live and, I see babies and I'm like, oh, wow, there's a little primate. It's definitely, there's something very empathetic about humans, and there's also something about the experimental design itself where it's because monkeys are so similar to us that we can learn so much from them in terms of their brain structure and that kind of stuff.
Pat in La Crosse is with us now. Hi, Pat.
Hi, how you doing?
Good. Well, what is your thought?
Well, I take kind of the extreme side of this. I was at the U of M when we were working with rat hearts, but my viewpoint on it may be a little unique. When you look at beef that's slaughtered, just to maybe make it on a grill. And I understand the empathy that people may have because they're similar to us. But, I mean, if we are able to cure depression and even advance it a lot, I mean, the value of their lives that have been used for that research, I think, is astounding. You know, I mean, a lot of people take the extreme side of saying that you're going to kill an animal, use every part of it. Well, that's what they're doing in this research. I think it's incredible that we can make this big of an advance and help humanity out with this kind of research, and people are just outcrying on it. And there's much worse things happening in the world than trying to focus on this issue. That's it. That's my only comment.
All right. Well, certainly there are a lot of other issues out there too, but let's, why are the opponents so opposed? What are some of the reasons they're giving you?
I think a lot of people are just sort of viscerally revolted by when they hear about the experiment. But I think another component of it is that people are skeptical that anyone is ever going to cure depression or cure anxiety. I mean, for a lot of people all around the world, as you say, Pat, these depression, anxiety are states of being. And I think that a lot of those other issues around the world connect. I mean, even if Ned Kaelin develops a drug that helps ameliorate some of the genetic pathways in the brain that are conducive to anxiety, you know, 90% of the people in the world are never going to hear about Ned Kaelin or never going to get this medication. It's a medication, so it's not, or a therapy or whatever. It depends on access.
We're going to check news from NPR and Wisconsin Public Radio, and then we'll continue talking about our big question. Should the controversial research that has been approved on the UW-Madison campus involving monkeys, baby monkeys, being taken away from their mothers and then putting into stressful situations and then eventually having their brains studied to see if there's some way to improve our treatment of depression and anxiety in humans, should that research be allowed to continue? It's our big question that we will continue discussing after we check the latest news. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. We are talking about controversial monkey research on the UW-Madison campus. A UW-Madison researcher has received approval to study how depression and anxiety affect the brain. And to do this, he is separating baby monkeys from their mothers, subjecting them to some stressful situations, and then will study their brains after they are euthanized a year later. And we're talking about why this research is being conducted and why there's so much opposition to it. And we are asking you in today's big question, do you think this research should be allowed to continue? Yes or no, and why? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest, Noah Phillips, freelance reporter for the Wisconsin Center for Investigative Journalism, who has been covering this issue. And I wanted to touch back, Noah, to this petition that opponents of this research have been circulating, wanting the UW Board of Regents to intervene, to overturn this research project, to stop this research project. You had mentioned that you weren't sure the UW Board of Regents was going to take this petition seriously because it contained a number of errors. Tell us more about that.
Well, I'm not sure that the Board of Regents is going to take it seriously, but I'm also not sure that people within the oversight structure, animal research ethics and animal research infrastructure of either the university are going to take it seriously. And that's just because it conflates certain things. It conflates Harlow's research with Kaelin's research, which is a very slippery slope. It's not the same. There's no sensory deprivation. And another thing that's important to keep in mind with Kaelin's research is that the infant monkeys will be peer housed with each other after around 3 weeks. So the petition states that the monkeys will be isolated and then terrorized for a year and then killed. Missing in there is that the monkeys will be isolated and then paired with a peer and then tested for a year and then killed. So I just think that when opponents of the research make these kinds of conflations, it plays into the It plays into the university's hands a bit because the university can say that they feel misunderstood.
Tell us what Kalen, Dr. Kalen, is planning on doing with the baby monkeys?
Sure. So when the monkeys are born, so there's going to be 20 monkeys that are taken away from their mothers and 20 monkeys that are going to stay with their mothers as a control group. As the isolated, quote-unquote, monkeys are removed from their mothers, they're going to be placed in a nursery, which is pretty small, and they're going to stay there for by themselves in this little incubator thing for, like, 3 weeks, between 2 and 3 weeks. The tests will actually begin while they're in the incubator. Scans and a test called the human intruder paradigm, where basically a monkey is in this sort of room thing by itself, and then an unfamiliar human experimenter walks into the room and either makes eye contact or doesn't, and you sort of, that's sort of a threatening thing for monkeys, and you see how much they freak out. So that will also begin before they're peer housed. Then, after a few weeks, the monkeys will be given a roommate, basically, in the nursery, and they'll stay with that roommate for a while. A few other tests that will happen. There will be regular blood tests. There will be regular spinal taps. There will be more of the human intruder paradigm. They will be also put in a cage with another monkey, which is another, like, an unfamiliar monkey, which is also a sort of threatening thing, and the researchers will see how much they freak out. They'll be put in a playroom and see how much they freak out, and they will also be not... They will be put in a room with a live snake, although there will be, like, a partition. They won't actually be in danger, but the monkey won't know that.
Yeah. So... Again, just to recap, there were two committees that have, maybe not unanimously, but have said this is worthwhile research and we believe it will be ethically, it is morally correct, it will be ethically conducted.
Mm-hmm. That is correct. Mm-hmm. And that's something that all the university officials I speak to point to. They say, well, we did due diligence and we approved it. A reasonable question is, when wouldn't you have approved it? The oversight is not completely satisfactory to everybody, because the committees are almost entirely made up of animal researchers. Even the veterinarians are animal researchers, and they do have to have a public member, but the public member almost never votes no when everyone else votes yes. It's almost entirely unanimous all the time.
Well, let's get back to some callers with questions and thoughts on this. Jill in Madison. Hi, Jill.
Yes, good morning. I would just like to say the ultimate purpose that in a published paper by Dr. Kalen would be to develop a new medication, as he was quoted as saying, best given early in life.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. We did discuss this, Jill. So you don't think that it's good to do that?
Well, my point would be giving this to developing children early in life. Every child's unique. They're all growing and developing in different ways. And they may or may not develop a psychiatric disorder. And the current professional psychiatric practice of counseling and family support is obviously the way, ethically and otherwise, to help the family and the child. And the ethical implications of administering psychotropic medication to some child where they're trying to alter the neural brain pathway of a child has the ethical implications of this, I think, are mind-boggling. It's
I'm going to jump in because we are talking about the end result, I guess. But is that anything that the oversight committees look into as to whether the end result is ethical?
That's actually something that a lot of people talk about. A lot of critics of the research, especially, say we shouldn't be trying to find new drugs to handle depression. We know what causes depression. It's families that are torn apart by this or that. And we need funding for social services instead. The problem with that is then you have to go to congressional funding allocations, which is also where these eye cooks derive their legitimacy from. Basically, people who are in favor of the research say, well, society as a whole is for us, and society is putting its money where its mouth is. We're getting funded through NIH, which is publicly funded. So if you have trouble with it, then talk to Congress.
Yeah, I had a Facebook message from a listener who said, please ask who is funding this this research. It is
NIH. It's publicly funded. It's taxpayer money.
Yeah. So NIH thinks it's also worthwhile research.
They do, and that's another thing they say. The research is vetted through NIH. It's vetted by the veterinarians. It's vetted by the eye cooks. It's sort of implicitly vetted by the researcher who proposes it. The trouble is no one in that equation thinks of themselves as primarily responsible for the ethics of the research. So everyone has sort of questions they need to ask themselves. You know, is this fundable? Can this lead to something? No one's job is to ask, are the monkeys or the animals in too much pain for us to do it?
Yeah. So from what you know through your research and reporting on this issue, is there any way that this research could be stopped?
I don't know the answer to that.
Yeah.
I don't know. At the current level of discourse, I don't think so.
Well, let's go to Ruth in St. Louis. Hi, Ruth.
Hi. Joy, thanks for taking my call. This is Dr. Decker from St. Louis, Missouri. I'm the sponsor of the petition that has now more than 300,000 signatures. And I wanted to interject some thoughts and reframe some issues that Mr. Phillips has put out there in the public just so that they know our position. The first statement is that the language that may be at odds or that UW is quibbling about is really not material to the discussion. It is a rabbit trail and a distractor. The truth is that the study paradigm is just as detrimental to these monkeys, and peer-to-peer rearing is just as stressful. So we need to point that out because the university will not do that. The second point I want to make is that Kalen's aims are highly speculative. And so whenever you talk about taking an animal that is complex, highly socialized, you really have to ask, are you going to get anything out of this research? And the third point I want to make is that it's becoming apparent and, in fact, had prompted a 2011 report by the Institute of Medicine. This is regarding the other non-human primate, the chimp, that we need to move away from monkey studies. It is the data from these monkeys cannot be generalized to humans, and that is the rub.
All right, thank you. First point, the language, this is just quibbling over the errors in describing the research. Noah.
Hi, thanks for calling, Dr. Decker. I wanted to... The language might be immaterial to you and the 350,000 people, which is an amazing number, people who have signed the petition, but it's not immaterial to the university. And frankly, as a reporter, it's not immaterial to me. My real agenda in all of this is just to have a really robust public discussion about the research. But I think it's really important in pursuit of that people who critique the research critique it on its own terms. There's plenty there already. You don't necessarily need to bring Harlow into this. Of course, I brought Harlow into my article because he's a really good example of when this all can go too far. But it's not the same as Harlow. And I, based on my research, I'm not sure that peer surrogate rearing is as bad as what Harlow did, as Streifer said in my piece. As he said in my piece, we've done worse things, but that doesn't justify doing something else that might be really, really bad. So if you find the research problematic, and a lot of people I've spoken to do, I suggest that you speak about it on its own terms.
Yeah. What about the, I mean, she had a couple of other points. We don't have to go through both of them, but the whole, we've got to stop performing this kind of research on monkeys and that it doesn't end in good results.
I mean, that's a fair position.
Mm-hmm.
The animal researchers don't agree. And the big question is what the mass of society thinks, which is pretty difficult to figure out.
Yeah. Well, give us, I mean, you certainly have contributed to a robust discussion over this. But where do you see this going?
I really don't know. I mean, my sort of the question that I've been asking myself is, had the language in the petition been in line with what I view as sort of a more accurate, and I don't think it's completely out of, you know, it's not a wacko dismissible petition. I don't think, would people still have signed it if it had been written, with a little bit more nuance? And Eric Sandgren doesn't think so. Eric Sandgren, who is the director of the Research Animal Resources Center.
It's a mouthful.
It is a mouthful. Thinks that if people got their facts straight, then they would side with him. And he says that people call him up, and after he describes the research in his terms, they agree with him. So maybe people should try that.
So you're going to continue looking into this issue as long as it goes on?
Yeah, I guess so.
Well, we'll leave it there for now. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thanks.
Noah Phillips, freelance reporter for the Wisconsin Center for Investigative Journalism, who has been covering this controversial primate research. And now you've heard from him talking about what the supporters and the opponents of this research are saying. We welcome your input now. It's time for you to sound off. Do you think that this research should be allowed to continue or not? And why or why not? 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. This is The Big Question on the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. In today's Big Question, we are asking you whether you think that primate research should be allowed to continue on the UW-Madison campus. Here's the big question as it is written online. A UW-Madison researcher has received approval to study how depression and anxiety affect the brain in the hope of being better able to help people who suffer from these conditions. To do this, he'll separate baby monkeys from their mothers, subject them to stressful situations, and then euthanize them after 1 year in order to study their brains. Do you think this research should be allowed to continue? Yes, no, why? In 30 seconds, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Jacqueline in Appleton is first. Hi, Jacqueline.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Yes, no, or
I
why?
I definitely say no. I think it's not a matter of legal or illegal. It's moral or immoral, and that's not a question for me. It's definitely immoral. I believe that all living things are interconnected, and should we choose to do this study and follow through with it, we will at some point see the side effects of the energy that is dispersed from it in some way, shape, or form through the universe. I also think that there should be a different way in which to approach analyzing depression. Maybe if we want to study people, exactly our own makeup of people instead of monkeys, that would make more sense to me.
Thank you, Jacqueline. 30 seconds so we can get as many on as possible. Laura in New Berlin, what do you think?
Good morning. No, such research should not continue. In fact, contemplating such sadistic proposals is the most depressing, anxiety-producing thought imaginable. And if anything, research should be directed at understanding human minds that conceive of sadistic practices like that so as to ultimately eliminate them.
Okay, Laura. Dennis from Coon Valley emails, I do not agree with this testing. I would rather see the same time and efforts be put towards ideas and skills for better parenting, so we are not putting the cart in front of the horse. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org if you would like to sound off on this controversial UW primate research. Janice in Plover is next. Hello, Janice.
Hi. I just wanted to say I understand the funding is coming from, I'm against it. I understand the funding is coming from the NIH, but what other drug companies are out there that give money to the university that might be at stake? That would be one question. And the other is, let's see.
I'm sorry, Janice. We'll leave it there because I don't have, it's the sound off. So that's the question that's in your mind. You're against it. Thanks very much. Susan in Kenosha. Hi, Susan.
Hi. This would not be allowed with humans, and unfortunately monkeys are similar to humans and suffer very similarly. So I have a few points. How can this research be made more compassionate and ethical? So, for example, not killing the monkeys at the end would be at least one step. Second of all, the scientists seem to have learned through animal abuse in their education that it's okay to abuse animals. And so this culture appears to diverge now from the standard humans. And
got it, Susan. Thank you. Again, 30 seconds for sound off. Valerie in Madison. Hi, Valerie. What do you think?
Hi, I'm against it. I think it's ridiculously cruel, and there's plenty of depressed, anxious people who may commit suicide or die from other reasons who we can look at their brains, and it's not acceptable.
All right. Thank you very much. Next is Catherine in Madison. Hi, Catherine.
Hi, Joy. I am against the experiment, and it's because I worked in a UW research lab, and I felt that these ethical guidelines that they say that they have, although they may find them to be ethical, I worked on it firsthand, and I found that the practices I saw there were shocking and personally, morally, very compromising for me, and I feel that I no longer trust their definitions of ethics.
Thank you very much, Catherine. Anne in Madison is with us now. Hi, Anne.
Hi. I'm totally against this. I think it's just another form of depression from, humanity. I think we need to just treat people as human beings and take care of them in a loving way. And so I'm just against this. I think it's horrid.
Thank you, Anne. Angie in La Crosse. Hello, Angie.
Hi, Joy. I'm against the research. We have adequate imaging techniques right now, and we can do postmortem studies on human brains that would be far more effective and not have to wrestle with the ethnic issues or ethical issues with this.
Yeah. Well, everybody who's called in anyway against this research. We do have a couple of people on Facebook. Paul on Facebook writes, support it as humanely as possible. Quality research for medical advancement. So there we go. I'm sure we'll probably be hearing about this still in the future, so we'll talk again. You can continue voting online. It's at wpr.org/joy. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.